This is Ashley Hodge with Sikkim 365, and I'm going to give you a post-game wrap-up of Texas Southern and Baylor. Baylor's home opener for basketball last night. Texas Southern got out with the victory, 72-69. So first of all, I want to give credit to Texas Southern. They came into Waco with a veteran team of transfers from other schools. They had two LSU transfers. They had a kid from Purdue, UMass, Colorado State, Auburn. It almost seemed like an episode of Last Chance U. And those guys delivered, particularly Trevon Reed, the 7'2" big man who plays like a big around the rim. He started his career at Auburn. He's been at Texas Southern now for, I think, 2 years. But he gave 15 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks. And he was really able to get Tristan Clark in some foul trouble. Jalen Patterson and Jeremy Combs, the two transfers from LSU, were very good. They delivered in crunch time. Patterson ended up with 23 points, 5 three-pointers on the night. And Butler, the Colorado State transfer, was also a key dude for them. He had 13 points. I was encouraging Reed, the 7'2" big man, to show pro scouts some of his versatility by launching some threes, but he never took the bait. So credit to him. He stayed around the rim. He blocked shots. He had putbacks. He did a great job on the boards. He had a dislocated finger that looked pretty nasty near the end of the game, and one of his coaches popped it back into place, and he handled it like a champ. So a lot of respect for them. Great to see both teams participate in the customary post-game prayer that Baylor does. So again, props to Texas Southern. They start every season with like 11 to 12 road games, and in recent years, they've knocked off Michigan State, Kansas State, and now Baylor is their latest victim. This team is going to likely win the SWAC going away. I think they have some good players. If those 3 or 4 key guys stay healthy, they look like a really good team, probably an NCAA team. I also need to credit referee Jeb Hartness. This ref, who has officiated many Big 12 games in the past, came into the game wanting to be the show, and he delivered. This crew called 40 fouls in general, and they sent Texas Southern to the line 21 times. The early fouls on Mark Vidal and Tristan Clark definitely played a factor in the game. Those were the two guys that Baylor needed all game, and they were very tentative in the second half due to foul issues, particularly on the defensive end. Jeb even danced with the halftime entertainment, so he was successful at inserting himself as part of the action in this contest, so credit to him for a good opening show. With all that being said, Baylor should have won this game. Obviously, the Bears were without what I believe are their two best players, and Mekhi Mason, the point guard transfer from Yale, and Mario Kegler, the transfer from Mississippi State who sat out last year. Mason has an ankle sprain, and he should return soon, hopefully Saturday. But Kegler's out for the first 6 games with a team rules violation. Now, King McClure might argue this top 2 player accusation. King was very good in this contest, particularly at the end of the first half, where he really took over the game for a stretch. King ended up with 23 points, 5 assists. He was 3-for-5 from the 3-point range. He played with a lot of confidence. He delivered a layup late in the game that put us ahead. He just needs Mekhi, Tristan, and Mario out there to help him share the load offensively. Just in the end, it was too much on his shoulders. Tristan Clark looked good early. He started the first half with 9 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks. But when he picked up his 3rd foul, really everything changed. He was tentative in the second half. He eventually fouled out. Thanks, Jeb. And some of these fouls were legit fouls, but 2 or 3 of them, they were ticky-tack. They were definitely play-ons. It's physical in the paint, and I just cannot imagine those types of fouls being called in a Big 12 game. Mark Vidal was his normal Tasmanian devil self. He's a rolling ball of knives out there. He ended up with 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. He had 5 turnovers. He made a 3, but he also missed some key free throws. Hopefully that improves. He's such a crucial player, especially when the game is on the line, and you hate to see that negated by poor free throw shooting. He looked like he was favoring a hamstring all game, which I think limited his effectiveness some. Freddie Gillespie. I liked what I saw from Freddie. Freddie gave some really good things. I loved his energy. I loved his activity. He's a smart player. He knows how to play position basketball. He sets good screens. He really doesn't get out of position on defense. And he bothers opponents with his 7'6" wingspan. He's going to help us a lot. It's good to see him make a short baseline jumper. One comment is that, you know, coaches are more and more teaching guards to chip at a big man at the foul line And I noticed when Freddie went to the line to two shoot free throws, he made the first. And on the second free throw, the guard for Texas Southern chipped right at his legs. You know, players may need to extend the knee a little bit into a sensitive area or flop when that contact is made, because to me, this is a dirty play. There's nothing I hate more watching a basketball game than to see a guy, you know, get hit while he's in the air, while he's shooting, or even, you know, in that situation, he wasn't in the air, but he's in the foul line and a guy's going right at your knees to make contact to box out. I think that should be discouraged by the rules, and I think players need to give some counteractions when that happens to send a message that, hey, we're not going to allow this kind of thing. All right, the newcomers. Oh, the newcomers. It was a mixed bag. And this season of trick-or-treats, it was mostly tricks this past game. Devontae Bandu played well. He played within himself. He did some good things. He ended up with 10 points on the night. I thought, you know, these guys rebounded pretty well. I think Matthew Meyer, I always want to say Meyer, but it's Meyer. I think he ended up with 6 rebounds, and Darius Allen had 5 rebounds, and I noticed Bandu got a couple good rebounds as well. Flo Thamba gave us some good things. He was only 9 minutes, but he had 4 points, 3 rebounds, and a block. Jared Butler, Matthew Meyer, Darius Allen, they combined for 4 points on 2 of 19 shooting. And they also had 7 turnovers, and they went 0 for 3 from the foul line. So it definitely seemed like some nerves were going for these guys. I think that's what we're going to see from those 3 all year. They're going to win us some games when they're on. They all have a lot of confidence, especially Meyer and Butler for freshmen. And they're going to have some really bad games as well. The thing I really loved about Meyer was his hunger to get the ball. He has a lot of aggressive, a more aggressive nature than I remember, especially watching him in high school. It's a bad start to their careers, but I think all 3 of them have a lot of upside. So I'm interested to see how they develop. One thing I want to see more of in defensively is half-court traps. We have a really big backcourt with Jared Butler, King McClure, Darius Allen, Devontae Bandu, Mark Vidal. Those guys are all over 6'3". And when we did some half-court trapping in the first half, I thought it really paid dividends. Texas Southern turned the ball over 9 times, and a lot of them came out of those traps in the corners. I think it's an advantage we really need to highlight. I've said this for years. One of my pet peeves about our team defensively, especially when we play zone, is, and we've been getting a lot better defensively, so that needs to be said. You know, Drew's numbers in the KenPom statistical analysis are, you know, went from the 50s and 70s, and now they're in the top 30s. So we're getting a lot better defensively. But I think for us to really take that next step, we're going to have to be either good at defensive rebounding out of the zone, or we're going to have to get really good at steals and deflections. And the way this team is made up, I think we could be good at both, actually. But I really think we can do a great job of trapping guys, getting deflections, leading to transition. And especially when we're playing guys like Allen and Bandu, they play really well in transition. So does Butler and Meyer as well. So, you know, I'd love to see our team get out in transition with some steals from the half-court traps. We should win our next 3 games. I think we'll win all 3 of those games by a comfortable margin. So I don't want Baylor fans to panic. This was a good team we faced, probably an NCAA tournament team that's going to win the SWAC going away. Like I said earlier, we need Mekhi Mason to play. We need to get him ready and start gelling with our veterans here. And obviously, we're going to need to get Mario back after the tourney in Florida. The atmosphere at Farrell. Oh, man, it was bad. Maybe because we lost, but 8:30 tip. I think the announced crowd was something like 4,327. But it seemed more like there were 1,800 butts in seats. We desperately need a new field house. If you have not seen the renditions of the new field house, you need to go to Baylor Athletics Twitter. You need to look at those, and we need to get that done by 2020. I sure hope the funding comes in for that. I know we're going to have better crowds for teams like Oregon, Alabama, and our conference games, but for games like this where we have so many new parts, we just need crowd energy, and the Farrell Center, unfortunately, just seems like a dead place right now. The concessions, I've mentioned this before, they're overpriced. I went to a Clemson football game this October, you know, a couple weeks ago. You're paying $2 for water there, $2 for soda, and almost everything's double at the Farrell Center. I think it does really affect, you know, the amount of families that want to come to games. You know, it's just, We're just putting too many barriers for entry to get a good crowd there, in my opinion. We can be a good team this year. I think our starting five of Mekhi Mason, King McClure, Mario Kegler, Mark Vidal, and Tristan Clark is a really good starting five. Once they're all on the court together and have time to gel, that's a five that I think can play with anyone in college basketball. And we have some good players coming off the bench. I think we're going to see more consistency from these newcomers as the season goes along. If you're a Baylor basketball player listening to this, I would just say relax, enjoy the process. We've gone from overlooked to now extremely overlooked based on this opening loss. So it's time to play spoiler. I think we can have some fun and start racking up some wins, and that's what I expect from this team. I think it's too good of a team to expect that this is going to be a disappointing season. You know, I still believe that this is an NCAA team. One final comment. I've not watched the game yet, but Duke destroying Kentucky by 34 points. That reminds me of what Alabama's doing in college football this year. Duke probably has three of the top five picks in the 2019 NBA draft, with Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish. And barring injury, they just may run away with college basketball this year from start to finish. I think that is as impressive of an opening game, considering the opponent, as I can ever remember. It's going to be disappointing news for Kansas fans for sure, because with Bill Self and the KU program facing NCAA sanctions likely from this FBI investigation of Adidas, they've thrown a lot of eggs into this year's basket to try to win one more national championship for Bill Self, to double his national championships before his likely departure. And I don't think that's going to happen with what Duke has going, provided they stay injury-free. Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel, they reported yesterday that the feds have given the NCAA the go-ahead to use evidence acquired during the FBI trial on Adidas and grassroots basketball to be used in this NCAA investigation. There's some smoking guns on programs like Kansas, Arizona, Louisville. There's some others as well. And each of these programs may be facing some serious sanctions in the future, especially when the assistants go on trial in the spring. I think after watching the Adidas middlemen get sentenced to 5 years plus in federal prison, I think you're going to see a lot of deals get cut in exchange for spilling the dirt on the schools that employed them. So that's something to watch as the college season unfolds. We'll be back after the Southern game for some post-game wrap-up. Again, Baylor falls to Texas Southern 72-69 in the home opener. This has been a Sikkim 365 post-game wrap-up.